So Parashas B'Shalach Tavshanayin. Our subject today are the Anane HaKavod. You know, we never really... Well, then. Yeah, next time. The Anane HaKavod, the Anan and the Amud HaEsh, the two Amudim, the two pillars. Okay, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. First, what we're going to do is read the Pasuk that introduces them, which is Pasuk Chaf Aleph Perek Yud Gimel in B'Shalach. Then we're going to try to begin to understand what exactly happened with them when Klal Yisrael were standing on the Yam Suf, and what that means, what the implication of that is for Klal Yisrael. What everything that happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but even more than the Makos and in Mitzrayim, the three fundamental events, that from those three events, all the Yesodos of Judaism, of Yiddishkeit, are established. All the Animamins, everything has its source in Yetzias Mitzrayim, primarily in the Makos Bechoros, which is the Giloy Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yam, and Matan Torah. All the Yesodos have their basis there. So we're going to learn about some of the basic fundamentals of Judaism, the Emunah that we have in how Yiddishkeit works, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates, that we learned on the Yam. And I don't intend to talk about when they crossed the Yam or the splitting of the Yam, just what happened with the Anane HaKavod at the Yam. Okay, with the two Amudim, the Amud HaAnan and the Amud HaEsh. And these ideas come from Pinchas Friedman, who we've learned from already here. He's a Belzer Dayan, and he writes a piece weekly for a long, 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 long time already in Eretz Yisrael in the paper. One of the papers there, the Haredi papers, and then Rachel Grossman, for Leah, for the neshama of her son, Avi Noam, put together 2 years' worth in two separate, you know, bound svarim. So this comes from Shnas Tavshin Samach Zayin. Okay, these are his ideas. But he brings down, not his, he puts it together, he brings down the Ramban, Chasam Sofer, and some explanations of that. So what we're going to do first is learn about the Anane HaKavod. So, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Okay? So here's the Pasuk that introduces them. Read carefully. Vahashem holech lifneihem yomam ba'amud anan. So Hashem walked before them in the daytime in the pillar of a cloud. Lan chosam, to lead them. Haderech, on the way. Basically, the cloud would guide them. They followed the cloud. V'layla, and at night, ba'amud esh, in a pillar of fire. L'ha'ir lahem, to lighten, shine light on them, to light up the way, to give them light. Yomam, l'leches yomam v'layla, so that they would travel, so they could travel by day or by night. So there was an Amud HaAnan and an Amud HaEsh. The Amud HaAnan was for the daytime. The pillar of cloud was for the daytime. The pillar of fire was for the night. And the pillar of fire was not behind them. Ramban is going to tell us it was above them. I'm sorry, it was not in front of them. It was above them, not directly in front of them, but above them, enlightening things for them. And the Amud HaAnan and the Amud HaEsh would switch off. When the Amud HaAnan would kind of disappear, the Amud HaEsh would already be, you know, visible. And at the end of the night, the Amud HaEsh would disappear and the Amud HaAnan would be there. Now, let's just focus on this. V'Hashem holech lefnehem. We've spoken about that here. Whenever it talks about Hashem moving, v'yered Hashem al hahar, all of those things, we said that Hashem doesn't move from place to place. All of these words represent a change in Klal Yisrael. There certainly was a cloud, a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire. And that was the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael perceived, were protected by, were enlightened by, and, you know, were led by. A greater perception, a greater understanding. And like on the Yam, where they said, Ze keli v'an vehu, they could see this was the hand of Hashem working. It was clear that this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence among them. Okay? Now, skip forward to Perek Yud Aleph, Pesukim Tes Zayin to Chaf Beis, and we're going to understand these Pesukim carefully, comparing Ramban and Rashi. Okay? So here's what the Pesukim say. Actually, start in Pasuk Tesvav. Okay. Vayomer Shemal Moshe, Ma Titzak Eli, why are you crying to me? Rashi says there, when they started crying, Ma Titzak Eli, why are you crying? Rashi tells us that this was tefillah. And Hashem said to Moshe, this is not the time to have a long tefillah. Klal Yisrael are in tzaras. And when Klal Yisrael are in tzaras, then, you know, the salvation is guaranteed. You don't need really a long tefillah. So just, so don't, you know, stop davening. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael, go speak to b'nei Yisrael v'yiso, let them travel. And what should you do? Harem es matcha, v'nit matcha, pick up your staff. V'nitei es yodcha, and stretch out your hand. Al hayam, on the sea, ubakehu, and split it. V'yovu b'nei Yisrael v'soch hayam v'yavasha, and the Jewish people will come in the midst of the sea on dry land. By the way, Kriyas Yamsuf is never found in the Torah, the word Kriya. It's always Bokea. Kriya is how we understood what happened there, and that relates to what we're going to talk about today. Okay? But the Torah word is Bokea. Split the sea. Vani hinani machzek eslev mitzrayim vayavo acharehim. I will make their hearts hard, and they will come after you. Va'achabda b'paro b'cholchelo b'richvo b'parashav. They're all going to chase you. Vayedu Mitzrayim kinei Hashem, and Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem, etc. Be a great show. Vayisa malach elokim. Now, read this pasuk. Vayisa malach elokim haholech lifnei machane Yisrael vayelech me'achareihem. So, now we have something new. Malach elokim. The malach of elokim that was going before the camp of Yisrael went behind them. Vayisa amud ha'anan mipnehem, vayamud machareihem. And the amud ha'anan, the pillar of cloud, went and traveled, that was before them, and went behind them. So we have two things, or one thing, that moved behind them. Rashi, we're going to see, is going to say that the malach elokim is synonymous with the amud ha'anan. That was the malach elokim that was before them in the form of an anan that went behind them. Vayavo, but here the syntax of the pasuk becomes a little difficult. Vayavo bein machane Mitzrayim ubein machane Yisrael. That's clear. It's went and separated. It came between machane Yisrael, the camp of Israel, machane Mitzrayim. Vayihi ha'anan, it was a cloud. There was a cloud. Vahachoshech, and darkness. Now look at the next words. Vayaer es halayla, and it lighted up, it illuminated the night. Below Karav Ze El Ze Kol Halayla. And they could not approach each other all night. So you see already the problem? The problem is Vayar Es Halayla seems to be a reference to the Amud Ha'esh. Okay, so here's what Rashi says. So Rashi says, and Evan Ezra says the same thing. Rashi says, Rashi tells us, "Vayelech me'acharehem." Rashi says, "Vayisa amar ha'anon." You see, I have a different pasuk than you. Yeah, Rashi says, "Vayisa amar ha'anon." Okay, kishechishka v'hishlim amar ha'anon es hamachne la'amud ha'esh, when it became dark. And the Amud Ha'esh would normally take over. Lo nistalek ha'anan k'mosha haya ragil. The Amud Ha'anan didn't disappear as was normally the case. Listalek arvis legamre, to disappear completely at night. Ela nasa v'halach lo me'acharehem, but rather went behind them this particular time, lahachshech l'mitzrayim, to make things dark for Mitzrayim. So according to Rashi, the Amud Ha'esh came as it normally did at night, where? The front of Klal Yisrael, and the Amud Ha'anan did not disappear, but went behind them. So Rashi is interpreting the Malach Hashem, Vayisa Malach Elokim, Aholich Lefnei Machane Yisrael, Vayelech Machareihem, as another way of saying the Amud Ha'anan. Okay? The problem is that why it seems to be, when you read the next pasuk, that we understand Vayhi Anan V'Hachoshech, it was cloud, the cloud created a darkness, So what is Vayar es Halayla? That seems to be a reference to Amud Ha'esh. Why is that stuck here in the Pasuk? Okay? So here is how Ramban takes this. Okay, Ramban starts by quoting the Ibn Ezra that says, the Malach Elokim mentioned here is a reference to the Sar HaGadol, the great prince, in other words, the Shekhinah, that was traveling in the cloud. And this is what it speaks about when it says, the Pasuk we originally read, that Hashem went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. In other words, the verse here means that when this Malach, or the Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was traveling before the camp of Yisrael, moved and went behind them, the pillar of cloud in which it had been traveling moved with him. Okay? So they are associating the Malach Elokim as the Sar, the officer, the Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that traveled in the cloud, and that's what moved behind them. Okay? Now, and then he goes on to say, and the next verse says, there was thus the cloud and the darkness between one camp and the other, whereas the night was illuminated for Israel through the pillar of fire that remained traveling in front of them, as it would do on all other nights, in order for them to cross over the sea, for it was night that they crossed over. It was at night. So the Amud Ha'esh stays in front, according to Rashi and Ibn Ezra, and the Amud Ha'anan goes behind. However, Ramban has a problem with this. The problem is, he says, that if the Amud Ha'esh was in front of them, then they could see everything. And they would follow the Amud Ha'esh. And they would move quickly, following this pillar of fire, advancing steadily, confidently, in daylight, so to speak. The Egyptians would have darkness, so they would be confused and lost, not be able to see Klal Yisrael. And then there were a great distance would kind of, develop between them. But that's exactly in contradiction to what Hashem said He was going to do. He's going to harden their hearts and make them chase Klal Yisrael. And that can't happen if they're blinded by darkness and Klal Yisrael are moving quickly away from them. So, Ramban is going to say, in my opinion, the Malach Elokim moved behind them, he says, happened at the beginning of the night. In other words, just when the Amud Ha'esh begins to illuminate the darkness for Klal Yisrael, right when the end of the day, the beginning at night, this Malach Elokim, who has been going in front of the camp, he says, first of all, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is called the Malach Elokim, as a Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, this is associated with the Amud Ha'esh, and he says that this Amud Ha'esh, the Midas HaDin, which resided in the pillar of fire, unlike Rashi, which says the Sar, the Malach, which resided in the cloud, but the Midas HaDin, which resided in the fire, went and traveled in front of them normally to illuminate the darkness for them. And here, it went and traveled, it moved behind them. The Amud Ha'esh moved behind them. And then the Amud Ha'anan went and moved behind the Amud Ha'esh. Now, what's the point of that? And then we'll see it in the Pesukim. The point of that is this. To create a barrier between the Machaneh of Mitzrayim, who we're going to learn, the Medrash tells us, were shooting arrows and missiles and projectiles at Klal Yisrael to be a buffer, but not to completely envelop them in darkness. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to see Klal Yisrael, so that they would chase them, as it just said in the Pasuk, that he's going to harden their heart and they're going to pursue them right into the Yam, and that's where the Nes is going to take place. So the Amud Ha'esh goes and moves behind them, above them. It's Lamala, Ramban stresses. It's a long Ramban, I won't read the whole thing. Stresses that it's behind, it's above them and behind them, illuminating their travels, but also showing the Mitzrayim, the Jewish people, right in front of them. So here's how you read the Pasuk according to Ramban. According to Ramban, it goes like this. Pasuk Yotes, by Yisa Malach Elokim, that is not the Sar, so to speak, the protective angel, Hashem's protection, which traveled in the cloud, as according to Rashi. That's talking about the Amud Ha'esh. The Malach Elokim, with the word Elokim, is the Midas HaDin, the attribute of justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means the MS of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which always led Klal Yisrael. And that Malach Elokim, which traveled in the Amud Ha'esh, according to Ramban, Haholech Lefnei Machaneh Yisrael, went veyelech me'achareihem, that went behind them. Then, in addition, vayisa amod ha'anan, the pillar of cloud that was before them, vayamod me'achareihem, and that went behind both of them, behind Klal Yisrael and behind the amod ha'esh. It went behind the pillar of the fire, also as a buffer zone between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael. Vayavo ben Machane Mitzrayim and Machane Yisrael. That's talking about the Amud Ha'anan, because the Amud Ha'esh, the pillar of fire, was above. Vayhi Ha'anan v'Hachoshech. So there was a cloud and darkness. In addition, Vayyair es Halayla, the pillar of fire, did light up the night for both of them. V'lo Karav Zel Zekol Halayla, but still they could not, there was a buffer, the cloud separated them and they could not approach them. So now, that being the case, you see that Mitzrayim can pursue Klal Yisrael because they see them. But for Klal Yisrael, what does this mean now? Here's the next step to think about. What does this mean for Klal Yisrael? They have been used to traveling with their clear, visible presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly in front of them. All of a sudden, there's nothing in front of them. The clouds go behind them. So now, the rule is that they follow the clouds. That's the rule. We read the pasuk, Hashem himself, right? Holech lifneihem, would go before them during the day in a cloud, and night in a fire, and al pi Hashem yisu, and according to the movement of these clouds, they would travel, al pi Hashem yachanu, and according to the movement of these clouds, they should stop. So, when they see the clouds going backwards, what are Klal Yisrael expected to do? Turn around and follow the clouds. Exactly. Here is the first time, and we said everything that happens on the Yam, and not just the Matan Torah and the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but what happens on the Yam forms the basis, one of the ikrim, of the fundamental principles of Klal Yisrael, of the truth of the Torah. Moshe says to them, Al Pi Hashem, Moshe gets Nevuah from Hashem, which is what? Go forward. So Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, go that way. But the clouds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own presence, are going that way. Now who do you listen to? Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishomim. Who do you listen to? Hashem is not going in front of them. There's a sea in front of them. Hashem is going backwards. Maybe means turn around and face them head on. And Moshe says, no, go forward. Here is the first time where Klal Yisrael is faced with the challenge of listening to Divrei Chachamim contrary to Divrei Torah, right? Because the clouds, in a sense, are Divrei Torah itself. They're Hashem's word. And Moshe says, go forward, go into the Yam. So, what happens here is a few things. We're dealing with one of the Ikrim, which is later, you know, discussed and described as Torah lo b'shamayim hi. Torah is not only in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, and you know that once Torah Shebaal Peh really became given to us and became our Yerusha, became our, you know, dominant area of operation, we decide what the halacha is. We decide what the halacha is, and then Klal Yisrael have to follow. And a baskol doesn't matter, and a navi doesn't matter. Klal Yisrael have developed over the years an understanding that there are times where Chachamim tell Klal Yisrael to do something that might be in contradiction to a clear-cut, mitzvah in the Torah. Such as what? Give me examples where we say that Chachamim, because it was Horasha, it was an emergency, disbanded with a particular halacha at that moment and did something differently. Eliyahu by Har Carmel building a bama, right? You're not allowed to have a bama, a self-standing, altar when there's a Beis Hamikdash, in existence. What else?
Marrying two sisters.
That was before Matan Torah. What about the whole Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, writing down Torah Shebaal Peh, because otherwise it would be forgotten. Okay, there are situations called a horasha, an emergency measure, in which There is a right for Chachamim to actually disband for the moment only a halacha. Okay, now it's not a unilateral decision and it's not an impulsive decision. It's a decision that goes according to, you know, many guidelines and according to either nevuah or according to a majority vote. You know, there's a framework. It's not a free-for-all. But here is a case where Klal Yisrael expected to listen to Moshe, who's a Navi here, and go forward when the Ananei HaKavod are going back. Now, we call this Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriya. Kriya is the tearing apart. Kriya is the same letters of Akira. Akiras. Oker and Korea are the same words. To oker is to uproot something. To uproot. Here in this case, uproot, in a sense, Divrei Torah, the clouds themselves. Now, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we think about it, putting Klal Yisrael into a situation where he's clearly doing this for their protection? Right? But the whole story hasn't played itself out yet. It hasn't played itself out yet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe he wants Mitzrayim to pursue them, and therefore Mitzrayim will be drowned in the Yam, and therefore it will be a great Kavod Shem Shemayim, and a great, you know, Hashem's name will be known. And that's why he's removing the Anonim from Klal Yisrael, and they have to travel forward. But for Klal Yisrael, okay, the fact that Hashem wants to do great Yeshua, this thing hasn't played out yet. They're not hearing the Nevuahs that Moshe are being given. They're being asked to do what? To trust. Trust who? Moshe and also what? Here's another thing, and this has been repeated in Jewish history numerous times. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not protecting us. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still illuminating the way for Klal Yisrael, but he's not leading them. They are leading themselves. They have to travel first, Nachshon and people, behind nothing. No Ananei HaKavod, you know, to feel secure that they're following. In other words, Hashem has not removed himself. He's illuminating the derech for Klal Yisrael. But the onus, the burden, is on Klal Yisrael to go forward into what looks like an impossible situation with trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is now behind them, trust in themselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we spoke about last week, will definitely save them if they have the emunah to go ahead into unknown territory, into dangerous territory, without Hashem in front of them holding their hands. Now, how many times has this been repeated in Klal Yisrael? It's true that Hashem is behind us, protecting us from our enemies, buffering us, illuminating the future, but not guiding Klal Yisrael directly. Klal Yisrael have to push themselves. They have to push themselves, and what guides them? The words of Chachamim. Not Hashem's big miracles and clear guidance, but the words of Chachamim guide them to go forward. The promises that Hashem made. Emuna. So what ikrim of Emuna are established here? Number one, that Hashem will definitely save Klal Yisrael, which we spoke about last week, Leman Shemo. Number two, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts Klal Yisrael, that if they just have emuna and trust that Hashem will save them, Hashem will save them. And also, what really the ikkar here is that the Torah is given to Chachamim to sometimes be oker, to uproot, so to speak, for the moment, so that Klal Yisrael trust the Chachamim. Now you know examples of this, right? The famous example of Rabbi Eliezer. There was a machlokas regarding something or other, something, right, was mutter or usser. And Rabbi Lezer said, for sure, the halacha is like me. Let a baskel come out and say halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. So what happened? Baskel came out and said halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So what did the people say?
No.
Doesn't matter. Torah lo b'shamayim hi. So what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying at that time? Natschuni banai, natschuni banai. My children have kind of been victorious over me. The Torah has been given over into their hands, and it's lo b'shamayim, it's not in the heavens anymore. It's in the hands of the Chachamim to direct Klal Yisrael. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So we have a couple of things here. You have that it's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael, in a sense, through their Chachamim, make their own decisions. So it's a very strange way of looking at our religion, because most times when you set up a religion or you think about a religion, it's God directing the people. But in our religion, we have a unique situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what I want, and you initiate it. I give it to you, you start the ball rolling. Now, let's think about this. Walking behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus walking in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's really what's happening here, right? So we have this, that, you know, an example of this that goes back all the way to Avraham and to the Avos. What's the quote? Right. Elokim asher hasalachti lefanav. Right. We always compare Noach and Avraham. Es Elokim hasalech Noach. So Chazal say there he needed to lean on Hashem's support. He walked with Hashem. By Avraham it says Elokim asher hasalachti lefanav. I walked in front of him, and later Yaakov actually says, regarding his, Yaakov says regarding the Avos, he says, Elokim, Bereshis Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Tesbav, Elokim, Asher Hishalchu Avosai Lefanav. Elokim, that's Elokim, the same Midas that you're seeing in the Mal, in the Amud Eish, that my fathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, walked in front of him. So what we're speaking about, the difference between walking behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu and walking in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does that imply? Walking behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the person is submitted completely to be guided and led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for guidance, and Hashem guides them. But what happens when the person no longer wants to walk behind Hashem, but wants to run in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does that mean? It means they know the way, they don't need a leader, and they can get there on their own, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can trust them that they're going to get there on their own and doesn't have to lead them anymore. It's a much higher madrega to be described as running before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say it in Pirkei Avos, Ase Ritzono Ritzonecha. If your will is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're running before, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's happening here is, they look around. Now we read the Pesukim with a little bit of a different light. We go back to this Pesukim. And here he brings a very creative approach to this. It says like this. Here. This is how he reads it. Pasuk, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yud. Uparo Hikriv, Uparo got closer. Yisu B'nei Shol Seneim, and they lifted up their eyes. Vehine Mitzrayim Noseya Acharehem, and Mitzrayim is chasing or traveling after them. Vayiru Ma'od, and they had a tremendous amount of fear. Vayitzaku B'nei Israel El Hashem, and they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They cried, Tzaka. Now, and it says, Vayitzaku B'nei Israel El Hashem, here it says, Tafsu Umnas Avosam. They grabbed on to the skill, the talent of their ancestors. And he brings out Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that they all were mispalo. But he brings a creative twist because he brings a medrash that says, Vayisu b'nei Israel seneihem, they lifted up their eyes, Vehine Mitzrayim, and what did they see? They saw the Tsar of Mitzrayim, like the guardian angel. In other words, the total essence of the force of what Mitzrayim is, their lifeblood, their driving force, in other words, all the things that Mitzrayim represent. By the way, the Hasidic Sfarim take this off. This is like the pasuk for a person running away from their Yetzihara. Okay? This is the pasuk they use, Vihine Mitzrayim Noseya Achareim. And Mitzrayim, which is Metzar, which is limitation and constriction and smallness and failure, is chasing a person who's just trying to get out of the grasp of their Yetzihara, and it's pursuing them. Right? So this is always, you know, often read like that. But here, let's do it a little differently. The Medrash says that they saw the Tsar of Mitzrayim, Noseya Achareim. So he brings down that the Tsar was behind them. It's talking about the Tsar of Mitzrayim, was traveling behind the Mitzrayim. What does that mean? That they were running ahead of the Tsar of Mitzrayim. So by Rishayim, you have the same thing. Lo Sasuru Achare Levavchem, don't stray after your eyes and your heart. So the mediocre, you know, regular person, the eyes and the heart, which means the temptation, the Yetzer Hara is before them, and they follow it. right? And they follow it. The Yetzer Hara leads them, and they follow their Yetzer Hara. But for a real Rasha, they don't wait for the Yetzer Hara to lead them. They run ahead of their Yetzer Hara and cultivate all new kinds of taivas to get themselves, you know, involved in. They're bored with what the heart wants and what the, you know, the lusts want. They go and become creative, pursuing even more worse temptations. Okay? So here, the way he reads the pasuk is, the Medrash reads it, the Tsar of Mitzrayim is no Seya Achareihem, is running after the Mitzrayim. So they, for Ra, are running ahead, so to speak, pursuing Klal Yisrael and all their evil designs for Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael don't have that same Hislavus, you might say, that same fire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're still following after Hashem, letting Hashem lead them. Then it says, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. So they cried out to Hashem for what help? Now, Rashi says, they took the umnus of their ancestors. They took the skill of their ancestors. Which skill we're saying now? To run ahead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that the there's a balance between the force of the Ra that the Mitzrayim are, you know, completely engulfed in. And balancing that is now the force of the Tov, of Klal Yisrael, that they're also prepared to run ahead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forward, despite what it seems that there's just a, you know, yam in front of them, to balance, so to speak, to neutralize the koach that's trying to pull them backwards. It's not enough. If the Yetzer Hara is running ahead of if a person is running ahead of their Yetzer Hara, and they're just following HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of them, it's a lost cause. In other words, there has to be a balance. If a person is that driven, they also have to be driven to become completely consumed with doing what's right and finding their tachlis in life, which is ultimately to devote themselves to the Torah and the mitzvahs. And that should drive them. If the Yetzer Hara, if they're, you know, advanced, driving the Yetzer Hara. Somebody once said, I forgot where I saw it, before we stop, before a person cries and davens that the Yetzer Hara should stop pursuing them, they need to stop pursuing the Yetzer Hara. So here, he's reading this pasuk as Klal Yisrael attempting and being forced into a situation on the Yam where their Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as running in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on their own, with their own initiative, without being led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the highest madrega of Avas Hashem. And establishing at that time the possibility that when a person knows what's right in a particular situation without having a particular mitzvah to guide them or a particular halacha to guide them, but they know, they have developed a sense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want in this situation, they take the initiative and they initiate something. This is really showing the power of you know, what is described by David HaMelech as a tinu oz le'elokim. We empower HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We initiate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows behind with the guaranteed Yeshua or the guaranteed Hatzlacha for the person that is ahead of them. So now, he goes on to say this. He adds another twist to it. He talks about the idea, one sec. He talks about the idea that the Malachim, actually my grandfather, this is not him, my grandfather adds this idea. He says, Klal Yisrael are traveling into the Yam, okay? Well, actually, let's do something first. Klal Yisrael are traveling into the Yam, all right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged things, and by the way, this is how all the Yeshuas go. This is always how the Geula goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged things that it's not yet time for peace of mind, for that sigh of relief for Klal Yisrael. Because if the Amud HaAnon and the Amud HaEsh, rather, stayed in front of them, they would securely march into the Yam, the Egyptians would be confused behind them, and they would feel relief from the very first second. However, the Amun HaEsh, we said, is behind them. The Egyptians are seeing them, which is encouraging the Egyptians to follow them. So the sea splits. We always think about the splitting of the sea as the moment of the Yeshua. Was it?
No.
Of course not. Because they run into the sea, and who runs in right behind them? The Mitzrayim. The entire time shooting arrows, shooting their projectiles, whatever it is, into the Anan. So they hear the noise, they hear the screaming, the things are coming towards them. It sounds very familiar, such as, for example, a few years ago, the Scud War, or any of these type of threats to Klal Yisrael. The missiles are flying. Somehow, there's a buffer zone. But it's how it is. So they're not, there's no sigh of relief, there's no sense of complete salvation yet. They run into the Yam. There's a great nace, which the nace is there to prove what? The nace is there to prove Ani Hashem, master of heaven and earth, who can interfere in nature. Also a yesod of Eramuna, that Hashem is the Bore, the Manhig. Hashem is Mashkiach, he looks into history, interferes. All of that is proven by the splitting. But the salvation is not part of the splitting. The splitting does not guarantee any Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. It just teaches us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. It doesn't save the Jews. They run into the sea. They're pursuing. They're coming out the other side. The Mitzrayim are still behind them. So for all intents and purposes, you know, what are they thinking? They're going to come out the other side. And the Egyptians are going to come out the other side. And the chase will just continue on the other side. At the very last second, where is the nace? And what moment is the nace of the salvation of Klal Yisrael? When the water returns and the water comes crashing down in the Mitzrayim, that's the issue of Klal Yisrael. By the way, if you look into the Shira, there's only one pasuk, and it's a vague, it's not a clear reference to the splitting of the sea. Beruach hapecha ner mumayim, with the wind of your nostrils, the water's piled up. And Nermu also means, is often used as arma, chachma, was intelligent, was devious. The bulk of the shir is about, the rest of the whole shir is about the Egyptians drowning and the waters crashing down, because that's the part that A, saved them, and B, also my grandfather points out here, that's the part that was comprehensible. The Gila Shechina of the splitting of the sea was something, you know, from another dimension that was, you couldn't wrap your mind about. When you see a nace galoy, an open shechina, it's something that the mind has a very hard time grasping. But the return to the natural state of things is much more, you know, within our understanding. So first of all, the bulk of the shira is all about the return of the water on the Mitzrayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets it up that that even at the last second, they are not guaranteed a Yeshua, correct? They are traveling through the Yam in the midst of a huge miracle, and there's no Yeshua. So you would think that the way it should work is, we spoke about this last year actually, we talked about the word Uz. You would think that the way it should work is that when there's a Yeshua, it's like a normal progression. The Jews escape from Egypt, and then the Egyptians, there's all these great miracles, the Jews leave, they progress, they come to the Yam, the seas, you know, it's split because of the Egyptians, behind them, but great miracles will take place, they'll come, they'll get the Torah, and everything will just have a normal progression. It's exactly the opposite. Huge miracles, you think this would neutralize the enemies, gurnished, nothing, they strengthen themselves, they pick themselves up, after the huge nisim, they pursue Klal Yisrael, in the midst of enormous Gilui Shechina, they're still out to get Klal Yisrael, they don't let up, they pursue us till the last second, and the skin of their teeth, out of the blue comes a miracle, and all of a sudden our enemies are gone. So the Yeshua never takes place in a normal sequence. In other words, things get worse and worse and worse and worse, and then they're gone, and then it's over. So we always anticipate that things have to improve. And when things don't improve, we get disheartened. So for example, you come to Eretz Yisrael, you build the land, you fight a few wars, you take losses, then you have the 67 war, and it's such a big miracle, maybe that'll settle down the enemies. No hope in that. They you know, constantly, you know, find their, you know, muster up the strength to attack again and attack again. And you think, then we give back Gaza, we're going backwards, we're not going forwards. The nation's doing, there's more wars, there's more threats, there's more missiles, we're giving back what we won, and we get disheartened. That's exactly how it works in Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this on purpose. What's the point? The point is that Hashem wants Klal Yisrael, without an Anan in front of them, without clear direction, without seeing the Yeshua in front of them, to just go forward with Emunah, to do what they know is right, what they've been told is right, to be moser nefesh, and Hashem guarantees Yeshua, but he's in the back, so that means that Hashem protects but doesn't lead, and then we go through this strange experience where our enemies never let up, not till the last second. So don't expect any of the great miracles that take place in Eretz Yisrael, the fact that all the technology is coming out of Eretz Yisrael, and we, as usual, you all heard about what happened in Haiti, how the Israeli hospital was. Don't expect anyone to care, to back down, to give us any gratitude, missiles to stop flying, threats of war to ever stop. It could be you open miracles like Kriyas Yamsef, they will not stop. That's the lesson. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantee, and that's how Hashem wants it. He wants them to pursue Klal Yisrael. That's why he put the fire in the back. He wants them to keep pursuing till the last second, so that when the Yeshua comes, it's because Klal Yisrael had emunah and kept going forward with nothing, no guarantee in front of them. Just the words of the Chachamim that say, Hashem is behind you, Hashem will just travel, it's Hashem will save you, you don't even have to daven so much, because in the Eis Tzara, the Yeshua is guaranteed for Klal Yisrael. Just trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trust yourself, and trust the Mesorah that you have, and that's how it works. It's very unsettling in a sense. There's no comfort zone that Hashem is leading us, but that's how it is. That's how it was by the Yam. Hashem specifically didn't lead them at the last moment. So this is how it goes. But this gives Klal Yisrael an opportunity to achieve the Madrega of running before Hashem, which is the highest Madrega of all. Okay. I'm not going to go into... There's one other caveat, but we're not going to do it. Any questions? Yeah.
So when it says at the end, after the Yeshua, by Yavinu...
Yes, Hashem, very good.
So it's almost saying that
he brings that down.
Why Hashem did it, almost like Hashem did it because Bnei Israel believed in him.
Very good. He brings that down. It says, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. That's how he teaches it. He says, in terms of what the Ramban is telling us, that they trusted Hashem and his servant Moshe, who told them to go against what they saw with their own eyes, which was Hashem himself, so to speak, the Ananim, going that way. They trusted Hashem to trust Moshe to go against to do something in contrary to what the Torah itself, so to speak, seemed to be saying, Horasha. Yeah.
How do we, if in Pasuk, Yod Aleph, yeah. I'm sorry, when it said, that they took Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, Pasuk Yod, they took on the umnash of their avos, and he said that they finally went where the situation where Hashem was going behind them, right? That quote. So how do we reconcile that with what they say afterwards to Moshe? They're basically complaining.
After the whole thing? When they say, let's go back to Mitzrayim and all that?
The next pasuk, they said, why'd you take this out to be...
Okay, so first of all...
And can I just answer one thing there? And then also, if that is what Rashi is saying, the Moim pasuk tesvav, does he basically tell Moshe, now is not a time.
Okay, so first of all, First of all, on this one. Veitzaku bnei Yisrael Hashem. Rashi says they took the umnas of the avos. Now and then Vayomer Moshe. Okay.
If we're understanding it as complaining, then we should understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. But if we're understanding it as what Rashi said.
Okay. So first of all, there's a couple drachim here. In Matzitzake lie, the way it seems to be understood is no reason for long prayers. In a situation like this, all you need is like by Miriam Kelna Rafana La. When there's a crisis in Klal Yisrael, a Eis Tzara, don't pray, just have emunah and go. Just, trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what you're asking here is this. My grandfather deals with this, and he doesn't really go according to, what we said, but it fits in. When it says v'yitzaku, that they cried out, and Rashi says, tafsu umnas avosam, they grabbed onto the talent of their ancestors. Each of the times that Rashi brings here, okay, analyze the three examples Rashi brings. Okay, here it says Vav Vahu Amar El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Bereshis Yud Tes. That here, run back here. That's the that's on Har HaMoriah. Oh, I have a Shemos. Look at that pasuk. Pasuk Yud Tes. Pasuk Perik Yud Tes. Pasuk Chav Zayin. All three take place. Yeah, what does it say? Who has Yud Tes Chav Zayin?
Okay, talking about before. So, it's right before Sodom. It's in the name of Sodom.
Right. That's with Sodom, right? Yitzchak Losuach Basada. Thank you. Losuach Basada. Remember that is right before the Shidduch, right? Well, thank you. And Yaakov Ayifka Bamakom. That's when he's traveling to Golus. Correct? Okay. Now my grandfather points out, even though I'm not sure, I have to go back and read it because I thought he said they all took place in Har HaMoriah, but that can't be with the Sodom issue. But each of the cases, my grandfather shows that what the Avos were davening for is the emuna to trust in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the first one was Avram thinks that he's destroying Sodom, Tzadikim, and Rishayim together. He doesn't understand it. The second one is Yitzchak is Shidduch is coming. He's Lasuach Basada. He's we've spoken about this. He's trusting in the Hashem is Mezaveg Zavugim, which they say is harder than Kriyas Yamsuf. And Yaakov is going out to Golus, to who knows what, to unknown. So all three of these tefillas are for emuna in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the path that Hashem leads a person down, how Hashem conducts the world, what the situations Hashem sets up for a person. So according to that, it's a very nice word, they cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have emuna. Now we're saying that the example we give is based on that they saw the Tsar behind Mitzrayim, and they were still behind the Anan, so they wanted to run. And that's drushy, that's based on what we're saying. But and it's beautiful, it fits in very nicely. But even with this, you could say they were davening to have emuna. You want to add what we're saying to run before Hashem, or some davening to have emuna because they're afraid. And the Avos davened in this type of way when they also needed emuna in the drachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact that they wanted to have emuna is evident, you might say, in the next pasuk. They were terrified of the future. They were vacillating like people do between desiring to have more emuna and being in a situation where they don't yet have, you know, I guess that level of emuna. And so, you know, the next pasuk seems to describe, I would say, I mean, this is just my, you know, impression that that's, you know, they were struggling between their mindset and what they hope to be able to, the Madriga they hope to achieve. And Hashem Moshe says, Al tira, don't be afraid. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, according to what we're saying, and actually forces them to conquer their fear and move forward despite the fact that Hashem is not leading them. And isn't that the situation that we've existed? I mean, haven't we done that 1,000 times, Kal Yisrael? Mm-hmm. Haven't we done that 1,000 times? To go forward, you know, into unknown territory, Hashem kind of promising us from behind success, forcing us to have emuna because it had to work out because there was no option. Look at the DP camps and everything after the war in 45. Was there an option? We had to go forward. We had to do. Eretz was the only place to go. Wasn't ideological anymore at that time. But pro-Zionist, not Zionist, build-up. It was just there was nowhere else to go. That land had to succeed. It had to succeed. It had to work. They had to be able to live there. There wasn't a choice. And Hashem didn't lead them there, so to speak, cleared. Oh, you know, there was a lot of problems getting there, settling there. The next day they were attacked as soon as they were declared, you know. And yet, look at the success. So isn't that exactly how it works for Klal Yisrael? They're scared. They want to have the emuna. And Hashem forces them into situations where they must have the emuna.
Yeah. It's beautiful the way you explained it now. Makes me understand more why you have Oz Yashir and then Kriyat Shema. Because every day when we express our emuna at Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have to go back and see how developed that emuna. And it's from Oz
Yashir. Very nice. Basically, Klal Yisrael were pushed into an impossible situation. And that, you know, to have emuna, that's really, and each person individually, I mean, isn't that how a person's life works? Sometimes there's just no option but to strike out, go forward, and deal with, you know, the nisayon at hand. Yeah.
I see the pasuk, v'yaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo, very telling, because they come to Moshe and they complain to Moshe, but in this case, they realize that Moshe is the Eved, just like they are the Avedim. He's directing them, but it all comes from Hashem. It's not, it's all within themselves, like it is within Moshe. It's not Moshe's choice. He's an Eved. He's an Eved to Moshe. He can be a go-between, but he's not Hashem, and he's not for them to talk to Hashem. he's in between.
He is, but he has tremendous koach. Because he tells him, don't listen to Hashem, listen to what I'm telling you. Hashem said, which is not to listen to Hashem, and go...
They have to have a bitachon in Hashem and in themselves to choose...
Well, we have a bitachon in the fact that Hashem gave Chachamim the power to, through the power of Torah, like Moshe, when in his case it was Nevuah, but Chachamim have it through the power of the 13 Midas, to sometimes say, despite the fact that Hashem says this, we're doing something different. In only occasional, only harasha, only emergency situations, and that's not a free-for-all. But
it's all directed by Hashem.
Part of the Torah, built into the Torah, is to listen to the Chachamim, even if they tell you left is right, and right is left in certain situations, in certain, you know, emergency situations. Yeah.
I find it interesting to do that. It switches from the Yachid to the Rambam. Bayar Yisrael is the Yachid. Bayar Yisrael is Hayar Adol, Asher Asah Hashem Yitzrayim, and then it goes to plural. Bayiru Ha'am, Bayaminu, Hashem of Moshe Abdo. Comes the Yuris Hashem, and Amuna, it's an individual thing.
It's very nice.
Each person, according to their Madrega.
That is very nice.
It cannot be...
That's very nice. Very nice. Very nice, Sarah. All right, everyone. Have a good week. See you next week.